see the three chiefs make a scoring rush, the bright colors of their jerseys spinning, flashing against the milky ice, was to see a work of art in motion. Well, that's good writing, Vicky.
I was trying to capture the spirit of the thing, right?
Oh, you did.
Hello and welcome to an InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast recorded Thursday, January 3rd, 2008, as we usher in the new year with a podcast full of news, notes, observations, and discussion. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, Inch co-editor and senior writer covering ECAC hockey, joined today by Inch editor and columnist Mike Eidelbus and senior writer covering the WCHA, Jess Myers.
Good evening, gentlemen. Did you say Usher is going to be on our podcast tonight?
Usher?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. Sorry. I just heard.
Well, I appreciate attentiveness.
I heard Usher, and it caught my interest. So Usher is not going to be on the podcast.
When did I say Usher?
I just thought Usher was going to be. I heard the word Usher. I thought maybe we're going to have some R&B. A little R&B tonight.
Well, this is off to a great New Year's podcast start.
Just saying.
Let's get into the hockey talk.
Nelly called and said he could either.
Wow.
He's at the Blues game.
He's from the Lou, and he's proud.
Well, let's talk a little bit about something with St. Louis ties, that being North Dakota's T.J. Oshie, who will miss Friday's game against St. Cloud State after serving a one-game suspension imposed by the team. He was involved in a late-night incident following last week's series against New Hampshire, as was New Hampshire standout forward Mike Raja, who will miss both of the Wildcats games this weekend at Merrimack and versus St. Lawrence. News reports still coming out about the incident itself. Just what is reported so far is that both players were arrested and fined. An incident took place in an elevator in North Dakota. Our research has revealed that this was not a fight between the players. But both players are out for this weekend's games. I think it just goes to shed another light on the higher standard that college student-athletes are held to, and all kinds of college kids across the country at all types of different schools are usually cited for various incidents at 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday night or Sunday morning, and these guys end up in the newspaper about it. Jess, your thoughts on what's going on here?
The real risk this puts T.J. Oshie in specifically is that this is the second time in 10 months that he's been had contact with the Grand Forks police, let's put it that way. There was the incident April last year where he was cited for being in a bar when he was underage, and he is still on probation from that incident. So what really would concern me if I were a Fighting Sioux fan, and I'll be frank, T.J. Oshie's a friend of mine. He's coached my kids at hockey camp. He's from my hometown. I know him very well. What concerns me as a friend of his is second incident in 10 months when he was still on probation from the previous incident. The judge from the first incident could go back now and say, you know, we told you to keep your nose clean. We put you on probation. You didn't. And this could lead to some pretty serious legal consequences. So that's the big concern there. But I absolutely agree that college athletes are held to a higher standard. A year and a half ago or so, we had the thing in Minnesota with several players being caught underage drinking. It was a huge TV story here. And I think my comment at the time was, wow, college students drinking? There's groundbreaking Watergate-like news. I mean, I just didn't get the, you know, why it was that big a thing that determined or that warranted that much news coverage.
Well, in that incident, you know, I think it was more or less when talking about the Gophers and the underage drinking. I mean, it was just a sensationalist piece, meant to grab people's attention and. Really, I mean, like you said, yeah, college students drink before they turn 21. Wow, you know. I think the one thing that concerns me, or that would concern me, about this incident in Grand Forks is that both of these guys, you know, you mentioned Oshie, and the thing that he was involved with last year in Grand Forks, and being in the bar underage. You know, Raja was one of the forwards suspended last year for UNH, one of the seven forwards suspended. I think it was seven forwards who served a one-game suspension. I believe it was for the first game of a Maine series, a series at Maine. So, you know, I don't know what these players did wrong in, you know, in this incident. We have, you know, sort of an idea. And obviously the thing that happened in New Hampshire last year, we don't really know. You know, they violated team rules. But certainly these guys are, you know, repeatedly, you know, if you can call twice, repeatedly guilty of bad judgment. You know, and at some point they just kind of, I mean, both of them are going to have to grow up. You know, if you don't learn once, you don't learn twice. You know, when are you going to learn? You know, obviously both are really good players and very talented. You know, but at what point do these kind of things become a distraction and become you know, a real sore spot on your program? I don't know, but you know, I guess it's, you know, obviously the coach's call in these situations. But you know, how much rope do you give these guys? You know, they're now to the point where they're repeat offenders as far as you know, doing things or being in places where they're not supposed to be.
Plus, you spend a lot of time traveling with WCHA and CCHA teams. Why was UNH staying there? Did they not charter? I mean, what would have been the reason for them to stay that extra night after the series was complete?
It's fairly common in the WCHA. When I was at Denver, you know, you flew in on Thursday and you flew out on Sunday, Sunday morning, just because of the you know, the flight schedules. You know, a lot of the towns you couldn't get out until Sunday morning, and you know, obviously, okay. In most of the cases, though, those flights out on Sunday morning were prohibitively early. You know, we're talking about 5:30, 6 a.m. wake up calls. And you know, naturally after a game, you know, you're kind of amped up and you have a hard time getting to sleep. But that's, you know, that's kind of the typical travel schedule for the teams that fly regularly, at least.
Okay, I just
so
just
you end
curious,
up so you know if you're
East,
if you're a player,
stuff's a lot closer.
Yeah, you end up with, you know, on some occasions, especially if you're, you know, Denver or CC, in a lot of occasions you end up with a free night out of town when you're on a road trip, and a lot of times those get, you know, the guys use it to get, you know, connect with their parents or family members or that type of thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right.
But that would explain
that. Just looking
for
an answer there. Yeah.
Mike, and Joe both, let me ask you this. Let's look forward 8 months or a year and 8 months, you know, if Oshie decides that college hockey is his senior year. Something like this costs him money when he sits down with an agent and with an NHL team and looks to sign that first contract. Does an NHL team say, you know, two-time guy who couldn't keep his nose clean, we don't know if we're going to take as much of a risk?
That's a good question.
There's a chance.
I think that
here's why I don't think it does, because of the strict rookie caps. The salary structure for pretty much all new players is pretty set in standard. There's a very limited range of, you know, the max rookie number is not huge, where it's going to cost them $1 million, because there's not that much fluctuation.
No, that's a good point.
Between the min and the max.
But if you're St. Louis and you've invested, obviously, you know, a high draft pick in Oshie, and your monetary investment isn't going to be, you know, there's not a lot of risk there that if he doesn't pan out, you know, you're really not losing a lot. But at some point, I mean, you know, and I've never met the kid. Obviously, he's a great player. But at some point, he's going to have to grow up, because once he does become a pro, there's not going to be anybody to get him out of trouble. He's going to be on his own. So if he doesn't show up, you know, if he's out goofing around and gets in trouble with the cops in St. Louis or Peoria or wherever he is, you know, there's no going to be nobody there for him to get him out of trouble. I mean, he's going to have to deal with the consequences on his own. And, you know, at that level, obviously, if guys aren't showing up for practices or proving that they can be responsible and take care of themselves, there's no room for guys like that, regardless of how talented they are.
Mike and I did some research last year, too, when we were at the Frozen Four, and there are trouble spots in East St. Louis that you have to look. And we checked it out, and you got to be careful. That's just that. Oh. You know, there's pitfalls.
Thank you for the commitment to the
they really should put a toll between the two towns.
We go the distance, all the way to Illinois if we have to, just to gotcha. Find out what's out there.
Gotcha. Other news this week on the suspensions front, reported in the Colorado Springs Gazette, forward Cordy Lample and Derek Petrosso of the CC Tigers will miss pretty much the entire second semester, rest of the season. Petrosso could return for postseason, what the school termed as student conduct. What can you tell me about these players, Jess? What was their impact on the team? And how will they be able to respond from this?
In terms of goal production, it's not a devastating loss. I mean, I think they combined for 4 goals so far, Lample with 1, and I think Petrosso had 3. Obviously, you know, both solid veteran players on the team that's done some good things with veterans. As per typical with, you know, situations like this, we don't know exactly what went on, and, you know, the school won't say anything, and that's where our talent with speculation comes in again. But it sounds to me, you know, if you read between the lines, that it was something relating to academics for the school to come down, not the team to come down, but the school to come down and come down as hard as they did and decisively as they did. Lample is out of school or is suspended for a full year. You know, will not be eligible to participate until, I think, December next year. And Petrosso, you know, for whatever reason, his offense was determined to be less severe and can come back, I think, as March 12th is the key date. And that's prior to the WCHA Final Five. So, in theory, they could have him back for a playoff run.
Well, let's talk about some good news now. Anybody up for that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, maybe we shouldn't. You want to talk about the Gophers? Or you want to talk about the GLS?
Yeah, let's stick with the bad news. Let's get the Gophers out of the way because they've been the hot topic in the emails and stuff. So let's get them out of the way.
Just for the record, for the rest of the WCHA, talking about the Gophers isn't bad news.
Well, yeah.
Don Lucia knows where. And knows what the opinion of his team around the country is, and he told me a couple of months ago, well, we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves, and I said, well, nobody's feeling sorry for you, and he said, yeah, gee, you think?
Well, apparently, I mean, Don Lucia knows what he has, but apparently their fans don't, because we got a few emails this week, you know, asking, you know, why we knocked the Gophers out of our rankings. And I guess the short answer would be RIT and Air Force.
I think it's a bigger answer than that.
Well, I said it was the short answer.
Well, yeah, but the overall record is 9-9-2.
Right.
They're 5-7-0 in the league. They haven't really shown that ability to make us believe that they are one of the nation's best teams right now. I mean, and that's why they're out of the inch power rankings. They had 2 great wins early, and if you take those out, then the numbers get even worse. Rensselaer, Michigan at the X, those are good wins. Ohio State, those aren't good wins anymore. You're swept by Denver. You sweep Mankato in early November, that's fine. You split with Anchorage, tie in a loss at the Showcase, split with Tech, split with Nodak, and then you lose to 2 Atlantic Hockey teams, or lose and tie to 2 Atlantic Hockey teams at your holiday tournament. So there's your season.
And swept by CC also in there.
Did I skip over that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that was after the ice break.
At the time, beating North Dakota in North Dakota on a Saturday night looked impressive. Now, if you look at what the Sioux have done,
North Dakota splits with everybody.
Who hasn't beat them on the second game of a series? I mean, so, you know, I'm not taking too much away from that because, you know, it's still a tough place to win, but, you know, it looks less impressive under the microscope of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, when's the last time that team won two games in a row? North Dakota.
North Dakota has seven consecutive since the trip to BC and Northeastern in middle October. They played seven straight weekend series and have split every single one of them. Michigan Tech, CC, Wisconsin, Duluth, Denver, Gophers, and UNH. Seven splits in a row.
Wow. Well, I saw both Minnesota games last weekend, and here's what I'll say. Two things that would be of great concern to me if I were a Gopher fan. Number one, letting games slip away late. And I don't know what is up with that, but, you know, they know it's a problem, and they see it happen every week. You know, both games they had leads and could not hold those leads. Second thing I'll point out, and yeah, you can talk about all the guys that are at World Juniors and Ryan Stowe is hurt and Kyle Oposo's gone and, you know, give me your laundry list of all the bad things that have happened. Putting all that aside and saying, this is the team we have, this is what we're going to do with this team that's on the ice. Against RIT, it's the third period, there's about 6 minutes left, RIT is leading 4-3, and Minnesota gets a 5-on-3 power play for a minute and 36 seconds. The crowd is going crazy. They're into the game for the first time. This is the chance that the Gophers are going to tie the game. They're going to come back. You know, they're going to dash the Tigers' hopes. The first 40 seconds of the power play, they get a few shots on goal. Things are going well. There's a whistle, and Don Lucia calls the timeout. Now, at the time, I thought, weird decision because you're going to take the crowd out of the game. You got all this momentum, and then it dawned on me, and some reporter friends of mine who were sitting by me, we came to this conclusion, he's got one line.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got one power play unit. He has to keep Blake Wheeler and Jay Baraball on the ice. You know, he has to rest those guys, call a timeout, give them a chance to stay on the ice. So that, you know, in a team that's normally has got the offensive depth of Minnesota, that's a whole new world.
Well, here's the reason why they only have one line. These guys are at World Junior. Cade Fairchild, Ryan Flynn, Mike Carman. Kyle Oposo is there, but he's not coming back, as we know, and discussed in our last podcast. Other guys left with college eligibility remaining. Jim O'Brien, Eric Johnson, Alex Goligoski, Phil Kessel. I mean, those eight guys would compete for league titles, even with no goalie.
There's a joke in there someplace.
I don't know.
there's another can of worms for Gopher fans, but we won't go down that
road. Write your own punchline. caption this photo. And one of the things that we saw and some of the feedback we've received is, well, how can you not rate the Gophers? Look what they don't have. Well, that's exactly what we're looking at.
Yeah,
we're looking at what they don't have. That's fabulous logic.
if that was your criteria, then wouldn't the Miami Dolphins be like third in if we were rating NFL teams?
Yeah.
Look what they don't have.
We should do bizarro power rankings one day. Like, rank teams based on what they don't have.
Oh, well. So that's where we stand on the Gophers. And another thing I mentioned in our chat at ESPN.com earlier Thursday, great for RIT. There aren't a lot of teams that can go in, a lot of college players who can end their careers saying, you know what, we went to Mariucci and we beat the Gophers.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys can. So, you know, that's something they've got. And especially for this group who had to play through that kind of probationary period where last year they were in the league but not eligible for the postseason. And then 2 years ago, even though there's not a ton of guys off that first team still on the RIT roster, you know, who played just basically a regular season schedule that was a hodgepodge of ECAC hockey teams, Atlantic hockey teams, a couple of CHAs, some D3 still sprinkled in there. So they've gone through a lot, and they got the big win over St. Lawrence. They've gotten a win over Cornell now. They've gotten a win at Mariucci, and certainly that's something that they'll always remember. So hats off to them for that.
The other thing I'll say from that tournament, that BC team looked just amazing. To put up, 14 goals in the two games? I looked at that team's record and said, how are these guys near 500? I mean, Derby was just on fire and won MVP of the tournament, deservedly so. And that looked like a very, very solid Eagles team, much more so than what I saw in October when they played in St. Paul.
Yeah, they're getting their stuff together. And we will – great segue, Jess. Great job, man.
I'm all about the segues.
Let's talk Hockey East.
I wrote a segue.
What's that?
I wrote a segue.
How was that?
We'll talk about that later.
Was Usher there? Okay.
No.
That's what I thought. And he's not on the podcast. Boston College comes back with the trophy from the Dodge Holiday Classic, the artist formerly known as the Mariucci Holiday Classic. With wins over Air Force and RIT, huge score lines, and they've got a trip to Clarkson this weekend, which is a big game. Clarkson's struggling a little bit right now, but that should be a good one on Saturday at Chiel. And all kinds of ceremonial connections, legacy stuff that Jerry York used to coach at Clarkson and then coached at Bowling Green when George Roll was a player there, and now George Roll's at Clarkson and Len Siglarski and all these great ties that history buffs will certainly enjoy, but the hockey buffs will certainly enjoy two very good teams playing on Saturday. But the most impressive win out of Hockey East had to be UMass. They went down to the Lightning Classic in Tampa, beat Notre Dame, beat Colorado College. Of course, Hockey East writer Jeff Howe has been pumping Minutemen tires, and we've, at least I personally have kind of taken a wait-and-see approach with that, but they look legit right now as we record this in early January 2008.
So you've waited and you've seen, I guess. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that's a good approach then.
Well, and you obviously had a good reason too. God, I sound like Sam Weish.
Wicky wacky bus.
I need a tracheotomy, I think. I need to get the cancer kazoo out.
Wow. Uncle Jimbo from South Park.
It'd be Ned.
Disappearing.
Oh, God.
Well, while we're on that, before you...
I'm drowning.
Keep your UMass thought to yourself.
Oh, crap.
New Year's resolutions, greatest thing going. My buddy enjoyed smokeless tobacco. So he says, New Year's resolution, I'm not having a dip. So he wakes up... morning, January 1st, says, I still haven't had a dip. He goes, but why did I smoke 8 cigarettes?
Well, he's a man of his word.
I said, because you're keeping your New Year's resolution, Dan, I'm proud of you. Oh, man, I blew his name, too.
Oh, you blew it. He's some friend.
Yeah, he won't listen.
No.
Doesn't matter. No one's listening anyway.
Harry Doyle.
Problem is when you say, I have this friend on a podcast, no one can see you making the finger quotes.
Cigarettes are delicious. I mean, you were saying about UMass?
Wow. And so much for Kids Corner. Now back to hockey.
Joe Camel.
Camel Light.
Yeah. UMass. I think coming into the season, we had a little bit of a reason to be skeptical about him because John Quick left for the NHL and signed with Los Angeles, and obviously he was, you know, a huge part of their success last season. You know, and I think, you know, people were justifiably skeptical about what kind of team what we'd see out of UMass this year, but you know, they've gotten good goaltending from Paul Dayton, and you know, I think the one thing that you know, beyond just beating Notre Dame and Colorado College down in Tampa, that makes those two wins even more impressive is those are two teams that are usually pretty good at winning close games. You know, if you get in a tight one-goal game, I mean, that obviously plays to Notre Dame's strength, no question about it. And CC has always seemed to be very good in those situations as well. And for UMass to, you know, emerge with two wins against teams that, you know, generally play pretty well in those tight situations, I think is just that that much more impressive. And, you know, we'll see what kind of momentum it gives them and, you know, all the other teams from Hockey East going into the remainder of the conference schedule and the, you know, in the, I guess, the land of the ties over there in Hockey East. I mean, you can string three wins together in that conference. If you can win 3-4 in a row, you're going to be in good shape because everybody else seemed, you know, in the first half, it seemed like everybody was tying. And so, you know, they're pretty tightly bunched over there.
Here's my thing, and tell me if you guys agree. UMass and Northeastern this year are last year's St. Lawrence. You don't expect much. They go out. They've got just enough. They win those close games. You know, they stay above, you know, ahead of the team they're playing against on a week-to-week basis and just kind of grind it out, and you wait for them to go away, and it doesn't happen. And then there they are. They're in the NCAA tournament. However, I think that's maybe at the point where that run stops. You know, when you get up against the teams that are truly in the top 6 to 8 teams in the nation, that talent level or overall depth is going to catch up with you and end your season. But man, these guys just aren't going away, and you don't know who's going to score. I mean, James Marcoux is a freshman. We heard about a lot of other freshmen doing recruiting rankings and preseason observations, not this guy, and he leads UMass with 18 points. And you've got your names like Corey Quirk and P.J. Fenton and Will Ortiz that are just kind of – everybody's chipping in on a different night. So I see those similarities in an awful lot right now. But, again, it's kind of a dangerous way to live.
3 or 4 years ago, Minnesota State had a team very similar to that. Mavericks got into the NCAA tournament. You know, one of those teams that would just kind of hang around in games all year. They wound up with 10 ties on the season. But very, very similar phenomenon that, you know, you kept thinking, this team's not for real. And then all of a sudden they were, you know, tied for second place in the WCHA going into the league playoffs. But, you know, same story. It ended with, you know, them getting to the NCAA playoffs. And
they played Cornell, right?
Yeah, got beat by Cornell right away.
Providence.
But similar phenomenon.
Yeah. But that doesn't take anything away from what they're achieving. Fantastic job to both of those schools. And UMass Lowell, also a tournament winner. We should have mentioned Northeastern did win the Badger Showdown with wins over Bowling Green and Colgate. And UMass Lowell won the Florida Classic in Estero with wins over Cornell and Maine. So good job by Hockey East right there. And New Hampshire getting the split at North Dakota. So
I got to give a tip of the hat to Michigan Tech, too. They did not win their tournament, and they have not won the tournament since 1981. There's the glasses half empty part, but to beat a good Michigan State team and take Michigan to two overtimes in the title game. It was not so long ago that a writer from a newspaper out in the suburban Detroit area suggested that Michigan Tech should no longer be invited to that tournament. Maybe ignorant of the fact that it is
the host
tournament. Yeah. I don't think that writer will be espousing the same opinion after watching the team he covers get taken to two overtimes by that tech club.
It's like Runners. China not inviting themselves to the Olympics.
Yeah.
We'll step aside. We're far too busy to play hockey right now. We got to put together all these deli trays.
I get to watch Gladdy. Is this the part where we talk about the many ways in which I'm wrong?
Sure.
Okay. First place I was wrong.
This is my favorite segment of the podcast.
It's the airing of grievances.
Longest, too.
Wow. First place I was wrong. I picked Air Force to win the Dodge Classic and was wrong. The Falcons got beat pretty bad by BC in the opener and came back to tie Minnesota in the second game and lost in a shootout. So I was premature in my predictions of good things for the Falcons, although I watched that.
Well, you
that
did
team.
Predict an Air Force-Minnesota game.
I did.
Two of the two.
I did predict Air Force and Minnesota would play in the last game. And
There you go.
Nailed that one. That's a very hard-working Air Force team. I mean, they've still got, you know, I'm still not sold on some of their defense and their goaltending, but they have two very good lines. Their second line especially, Matt Fairchild, Jeff Hayner, and Brent Olson. I talked to Brent Olson after the game. That's got to be the most geographically diverse line in all of college hockey. Fairchild is from Ashburn, Virginia. Jeff Hayner is from Las Vegas, and Brent Olson is from Bedette, Minnesota, which is up on the Canadian border. So they've pretty much got the whole nation covered there, and as well they should, as you know, being the best and the brightest of our future military leaders.
They're trained killers.
Well, they will be.
No.
They're killers in training, let's put it that way.
Okay.
All right. What else were you wrong about, Jess?
My talk high school hockey about coaches wearing helmets. I spoke too soon. I had not been to a high school game and went to one shortly thereafter, and darn if they just weren't wearing baseball caps. And I know there was considerable talk last summer that coaches would be required to wear helmets, but apparently that rule was rescinded. So I'm making it my personal crusade just to save my rear end of it, to make sure that next year they're all wearing helmets.
I'm sure you'll be very well received by the Coaches Association.
I've been going to a lot of PTA meetings.
Make them wear those Little League batting helmets from the Little League World Series with a giant cage on the front.
I was thinking the Mike Foligno global round dome-ish helmet.
Little Cooper helmet.
Yes.
Or Pro-Tech.
The Yarituri Jofa.
Gretzky's paper mache helmet.
Nice.
With no pads.
Speaking of Gretzky, I went to a game in Phoenix over the holiday break.
How was the arena? How was
nice arena. Not a lot of buzz, let me put it that way. First of all, I need to say a big thank you to former Hobie winner Tom Kervers, now the personnel director for the Coyotes, who was nice enough to, in the spirit of the holidays, come up with some tickets for my kids. And very very good seats. And
your kids let you
time.
Go with them?
My kids did let me go with them. They prefer I don't sit by them, just because, you know, Dad gets a little belligerent. And
holiday spirit that. Overflows.
So I will say this, Glendale, Arizona, the arena's built kind of in the middle of nowhere, although the area, like the rest of Arizona, is growing fast. A lot of condos, shops, et cetera, hotels going up in the area, and it's right next to the Cardinals Stadium where the Super Bowl will be held next month, so it's a growing area, but 13,000 maybe the night I was there, and I've heard from some people when the Coyotes moved out of downtown Phoenix, they lost a lot of their fans. That's an incredibly spread out metro area.
Yeah.
So to get from, you know, the east side of town over to Glendale now is like a 45-mile drive. Not a 45-minute drive, a 45-mile drive.
That's a lot.
That's a haul.
And speaking of other things that the Gophers don't have, Peter Mueller, who's playing for the Coyotes and would have been a Gopher, is looking like he belongs in the NHL, no question about it.
Well, there's another one.
I'm going to write that down for future use.
for the Bizarro Power Rankings?
I'm just going to make a list so I can come up with a stock answer.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby does not play for the Gophers also. Don't put that one down.
Three North Dakota jerseys in the crowd in Phoenix, and two UMD jerseys, which seems a little odd. But
Tom Curvers.
Yeah, he wore his own.
Maybe it is the Tom Curvers effect. Well, and Brett Hull played for them for like three games, so probably Tom Curvers.
He looked around and saw his line mates, and he said, "Eject." Who were the Yotes playing that night?
I saw them play the Minnesota Wild. Interestingly enough, the Wild followed me to Arizona.
Wow!
Hey, you just can never get enough Minnesota Wild hockey.
That's like going to Phoenix only to watch the Wild it's like driving to a movie theater, on the other side of town to see like Santa Claus 3. Just.
Well, let me bring up a game I saw, which I referred to as the 06-07 Hobie Trackler Showcase game. The Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins of the American League played in Syracuse against the Crunch, and Wilkes-Barre Scranton goalie David Brown was fantastic. We were right all along.
Yeah.
On him. He's good. Buss, I give you credit for being right on that.
Buss is known for his trackling.
I am.
He's a trackler.
I am a trackler.
Who is the other goalie for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins? And they've pretty much shared time this year.
I know this.
Context clues?
John Curry.
John Curry of the Boston University Terriers.
I was going to say Adam Hauser, but I know it's not. I know
no.
It's John Curry.
Context clues.
Yeah.
And Alex Goligoski also on the Penguins. So.
The baby Pens.
The Columbus organization, not so much down with college hockey.
Bereft of talent.
Not so much down with the college kids. But that's all right. It's a good game. Good scraps. Two goals, two fights in the first period. Gets everybody into the game. And there you go. It's good to see.
Still called War Memorial?
Yes, the Onondaga County War Memorial.
Okay.
What war are they memorializing, do we know?
All of the wars. There's a
Spanish
large...
American?
It's a large, large memorial wall on the second floor,
the French,
which actually includes the name Joe Gladyszewski on there.
Oh, really?
I'm on the wall.
Would you carve it?
My grandfather's on the wall, but
oh.
I'm named after him. So.
How about that?
So there you go.
Did you take a crayon or something and do the rubbing?
No, it's. It's not embossed or...
Is your father's name Joe also, Joe?
It is not.
So you're not Joe Gladyszewski III?
Hell no. Then I would have had to go to a NESCAC school or something.
You'd have to go to Williams.
No, I would not.
Did you see the Winter Classic?
I watched very, very great portions of it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was good.
You know what it reminded me of? One thing.
Gimmicky, but. You know what I liked
about
it? I liked the shinny rink that they had on the one end there where the kids are skating.
Yeah.
Which was a nice touch.
That was.
I liked Lindy Ruff's letter jacket.
That was nice.
Pretty fantastic.
I liked Lindy Ruff not wearing a hat at
all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, he's Lindy Ruff.
He's the toughest man in hockey.
He is. And then, obviously, the Penn sweaters are outstanding.
Definitely outstanding.
The throwbacks. And, the Sabres are, too. But what did you like about it?
I'm glad it snowed. If you play outside and it's nice, you know, even if it's cold and you get the spectacle with all the fans and the scope of the game, but the elements added a real effect to that game. You know, if it was 30 and cloudy and, you know, 5-mile-an-hour breeze, then it doesn't, you know, you might as well play indoors. But the elements, while it slowed the game down and made the conditions much more difficult, I think it made it a better event.
I agree. That was nice about it. They should have given the guys shovels, though.
Oh, that is exactly correct. Get the guys out there to
like they did at the Heritage Classic. That would have been that would have been phenomenal.
That would have been a good touch, no question.
Yeah, just once. I mean,
yeah,
just one loop. Or actually, if the guys, somebody should have raised their hand and gone out and done it. He would have been a folk hero.
Oh yeah,
that guy would have been the best.
Yes, he would have.
You know, Paul Gostad. He could have made himself a household name across America. He would have been in every highlight clip in every, you know, home in America and Canada and whatever. And for the people who don't know Paul Gostad, which are many, but he's a great player. Nice piece for that Sabres team. You know, and he's a guy, or any of those guys.
He's a North Dakotan.
Darryl Spotchek.
Not a University of North... Paul Gostad is from North Dakota, I believe.
That sounds familiar.
Not the University of... I think he played for the Portland Winterhawks. But I think he's from Fargo. It's either Fargo or Grand Forks. I guess you could say that pretty much about everybody. From North Dakota is either from Fargo.
There you go.
Grand Forks. There you go. Did you see the Ryan Miller Amp commercial?
No.
Oh, you missed it. It was very good.
Was he amped?
Well, it was some... You know, I'm going to have to plead ignorance on this. He was standing in a boxing ring. Did you ever see that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Bloodsport?
Yeah.
Where they're fighting in this illegal underground... Martial arts tournament someplace. Anyways.
The only Van Damme movie I saw was when he played for the Penguins.
He looked like Johan Hedberg in that one. Anyways.
One of the all-time bad action movies.
Anyways, so they've got Miller in this. It was a Kings goalie. I think it was a goalie. I can't remember because I wasn't paying attention to the other guy. Standing in the middle of this boxing ring, and you know all these people are crowded around, and they're throwing insults, your mama insults, at each other. And Miller starts it off and says, your mama is so ugly, she threw a boomerang and it wouldn't come back. And then, you know, they're going back and forth. And then at the end, Miller, I don't know, he took a drink of this stuff. I don't know what's in amp. It's probably, you know, sewage and carbonation.
It's an energy.
Anyways, he says this insult in...
Cross that off the potential sponsors list.
Well, come on.
Do they make diet sewage?
Anyways, at the end, he throws out this your mama insult in like Chinese or something, and then he's declared the winner and he's celebrating in the ring. It was very, it was a good commercial, good spot.
I will look up on the internet.
I do not know what AMP is, however.
It's an energy drink.
Okay.
They were able to commandeer about 10 spots on each side of the boards for their ads.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be driving the AMP car in the forthcoming NASCAR season. Of course, he is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's no longer with the King of Beers.
That's true. Clutch and Grab. Have you guys seen more of it, less of it, same? Are you okay with it? Do we need to open the game up a little more?
Jess?
I don't think I've seen appreciably more of it. I think, you know, in my mind, those kinds of infractions are still getting called pretty tightly in the games I've watched. I certainly don't like it. There's nothing like a good open ice rush. And I see enough of the Minnesota Wild where, you know, those are pretty rare.
I've just started to see some of the stick work and the free arm kind of sneaking back into the game a little bit, games I've watched recently. And I think maybe, just a reminder, you don't want to totally take away the game from the players, but you want to let them skate. Hooking a guy around the waist with your free arm, not good business.
You kids, listen up.
Yeah. You got the clip here? Run the clip.
Now watch Darcy Tucker.
Watch Darcy Tucker. Watch Kirk Muller on this face-off, kid. Daddy's advice
Kingston
for kids.
Boy. Just chip it out.
And cigarettes are tasty.
Delicious.
Delicious. Do you think it's increasing? I think I gotta side with Jess. I don't think it's. I guess I don't notice it in the. I guess what you'd call when a guy has a scoring chance or a scoring opportunity, if somebody does something, I think it's getting called pretty consistently, you know, and guys have learned not to grab or not to use the stick in those instances. I think maybe you might be seeing it a little bit more, you know, along the wall.
Well, that's exactly it.
The
scoring chances aren't happening because it's 160 feet from the net. And,
no, I don't.
You know, you chip the puck. Here's one. You chip the puck past the defenseman, your winger on your D zone, out to neutral ice, and then he just grabs you instead of, you know, in that foot race for the puck, for the loose puck. There's one right there that I'm seeing more that's not being called.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just what's going on out here.
I think we need a bigger sample size.
Yeah, let's all take a look at it this weekend, and we'll talk about it on our next podcast.
Yeah,
a lot of the games I see are on Olympic size ice sheets, and I don't know. I would think that would be less conducive to clutch and grab just because there's more room. So maybe that's why I'm not seeing as much of it.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's a good point.
That's true.
Although some people argue that the big ice sheet makes teams more tentative and makes them play a tighter game because they're afraid with all that open ice of making a mistake.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
And the other thing I think, though, too, you know, the WCHA, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, that's more of the let players play league.
Yeah, and they don't generally call things as tight as they have. Out east, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
And I don't think anybody really has a problem with that. Out there.
Well, it does.
It comes into play later in the year when you have these
holiday tournament games and competition when you've got officials and teams from three different leagues involved in the same contest.
Absolutely.
So the fact that friends of
mine from other conferences used to call this the Western Clutch and Hold Association. That was just a joke, maybe.
Or not.
They knew. I don't know. I mean, being physical.
Well, how about
is,
this? We'll table this till the next podcast.
What is this? A city council meeting?
It will be.
We'll table it.
Clutching and holding, is it up or down? Discuss.
Tabled. Tabled.
All in favor?
I'm going to send it back to committee.
That's a good idea.
Needs further study.
We'll get the committee on this. All right. That will do it.
That will do it. Sorry.
I missed the whole first freaking period.
You didn't miss anything.
You're right, it's 0-0.
I was going to say, Luongo and Lundqvist are playing freaking 0-0. It was like four shots on goal.
False. Luongo Valiquette.
Oh.
Canucks out shooting the Rangers 9-5. So.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, there
that.
You go.
That's it.
Congratulations to Matt Niskanen. Got a goal for the Dallas Stars tonight. in his home state, and two busloads of fans from Virginia, Minnesota came down to see him play. And they went home happy on two fronts. Their hometown boy scored a goal and the Wild won.
But they had to go back to Virginia.
Nothing wrong with Virginia. Queen City Iron Range? Come on. You get free steam heat in your home if you live there.
I'm going to pack up then.
And I'm pretty sure that's true, unlike the coaches wearing helmets thing.
I was born in Virginia, Minnesota. It's not good.
Home of Mike Sertich, home of John Baugh Harrington. And Matt Niskanen there.
Birthplace of Mike Idolbus. Yeah. Says the placard on the city limits as you enter town.
Yeah. Mr. Zero, Frankie Brimsek, is buried there.
There you go.
Games on tap this weekend, Jess, going any?
I'm going to go see the Wayne State Farewell Tour this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Beautiful. And if you're a Gopher fan and you're itching for a win, this might be the time to see it. Brent Soley getting a starting goal for the Gophers this weekend. That'll be interesting.
Really?
They've decided to go yet another new direction in goal.
Oh.
And you know, from people I talk to, I've not seen Brent Soley play. For people I talk to, this is a kid who is first guy on the ice, last guy off the ice at practice every week, is, I believe, a senior and has worked his butt off and deserves his shot. So good for him.
Bus, any games on tap?
Yeah, I'm gonna flip a coin between Lake State, Michigan State, and Bowling Green, Miami.
That's in BG.
That is in BG.
Good idea.
Depending on how far I want to drive, and you know the Lake State, Michigan State game is at 5 on Saturday. Early face-off is very appealing.
It is appealing.
I could be home in time for Coach's Corner, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah. Or to catch a late Saturday game on that newfangled television satellite thing.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll be attending Niagara Cornell on Friday night in Ithaca. First up close and personal look at the Big Red this year. We'll see what they have
kind
to
offer. They're kind of an enigma.
Reports out of Cornell, Ben Scrivens is certainly ahead of Troy Davenport in their goaltending platoon right now. Scrivens, very impressive in Florida from my eyewitnesses on the scene down there. We'll see. This will be the second consecutive ECAC versus...
You got a guy?
He had an operative.
I had a guy.
Yeah, he had a mole.
CHA-ECAC battle after the Colgate Robert Morris battle that I saw recently. So, we'll see what the Perps and the Red can do.
When they get together, what does it make? Kind of an aquamarine?
Dark purple. We haven't had a team colors segment in a long time. I think we need that. Well, we will also table that till the next podcast.
We will table that in eternity.
End of the podcast after that.
Yeah.
And the
topic of which we don't speak.
Yeah. That topic that dare not speak its name.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's all. Happy New Year.
That's it.
Happy New Year, everyone. Best of luck to you, your teams, your families, friends in 2008. Hope everyone makes the Frozen Four.
Then it would be the Frozen 58, wouldn't it?
Plus one.
59. Plus one.
Was Wayne State eligible?
Sure.
Can you imagine if they won the whole thing and then quit?
It'd be like the end of Slapshot.
They'd go play for the Minnesota Nighthawks?
It would be like, actually, well, no, it wouldn't be like the end of Major League, because we never found
out
what happened.
There is still no end of Major
League. Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, that will do it for another InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you for following college hockey at Inch.